Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah again. I almost went to Philippians tonight. I have ADD in my preaching too. No, I preached the first point of that message this morning. I want to preach the rest of it. There's two more points we didn't get to. And this is just an area that's been on my heart. And since we went to the Spiritual Leadership Conference, one of the messages that I heard that touched me, and you know, one of the best things I've found as a pastor and as a preacher is the best thing for me to preach is what's on my heart, what the Lord has laid on my heart, and this is what He has. And this morning, as we talked about and preached on Jeremiah 6:16, and familiar passage, I know some of you were in children's church and working in nurseries and other areas, so we'll read it. And we're going to emphasize the last part of this particular verse. Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight again for your love. We pray, God, that you would help us, to strengthen us tonight as we look into this passage once again. I pray that would be an encouragement to those who come out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember the old paths. Jeremiah was simply encouraging Israel to remember the commandments of God, to remember where they came from, and to remember that the southern kingdom wasn't exempt from God's judgment, and that if they weren't careful, that just what had happened to the northern kingdom would happen to them. And he was just trying to, it was a call for a return to God. It was a call to return to the old paths. And I, as I said this morning, I think the application is so vital today, and that is churches today. We need to continue and get back to the old paths. And it's still church. I want church. I want to be careful, and I want our church to continue to be careful about getting in the entertainment business. And sometimes we cross the line too, but we're not in the entertainment business. We're in the soul-saving business. Amen? And we want to glorify God in everything that we do. And so many churches have laid aside doctrine for the sake of getting together and the ecumenical movement of, you know, this, if we'll get rid of our doctrine, then we can all get along. You know, we can get along with the other denominations. And secondly, most churches today, a lot of churches, I don't say most, a lot of churches have set aside preaching upon any particular subject that might offend anybody. You know, they seeker sensitive. Those who come in the back door, they want to be careful that they don't offend anyone. And so therefore, the preacher, he does a good job of setting people down and encouraging them, but he does a lousy job of preaching the whole counsel of God. He won't preach on any subject concerning. In fact, many of the popular preachers today, including one big one down in Houston, won't even mention the word sin from the pulpit. And so, those type of preachers who will put themselves on Oprah Winfrey's show, on one of the most disgusting shows in all of TV, Oprah Winfrey and her soul spirit thing. By the way, if you're not up on things, you've got to realize that Oprah Winfrey is one of the largest proponents of humanism in our world today. And so be aware of that. Just be aware of that. She is promoting it like crazy. But there I go, mentioning her name. Woo-hoo. All right, so we downed Oprah Winfrey tonight. Let's move on. So they set aside, preachers today, setting aside various things in the Bible that offend people. I'm telling you, if you come to our church over a period of 6 weeks and your toes don't get stepped on, I don't believe I've done my job. Again, as I said this morning, Paul said to young Timothy, that preacher, he said, you know, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so part of preaching is reproving and rebuking. And it has to be a part of it. And certainly we don't want to come to a church where we get beat up all the time. Amen? I don't want to be a part of that. And certainly we want to get away from maybe that stereotype of the churches of the past, especially Baptist churches, who just preached people into the ground. But we do want to preach the truth in love. And certainly I try my best to do that. And sometimes I go old school. You know, it's just the way I was raised. All right? But I am aware of when I do it. And, but, you know, we just need to be, we need to understand that. So Jeremiah is just calling Israel back to the old paths. And what I'm saying is, at Heritage Baptist Church, we want to stay in the old paths. I like our music. I have no reason for us to change. And I certainly, as long as I'm pastor here, we won't change. I like our music. I think it's Christ-honoring music. I think when we give into the age of the world today and give into that music, which is popular today, that we give into the entertainment of those things and so forth and so on. I like our Bible. I like the King James Bible. I use it because it's the most honest translation. I use it because it's the best translation. We use it at Heritage because it keeps us all on the same page. Amen? And I like the old King James Bible. I like soul winning. That's what the church was meant to do, to reach out and to spread the gospel, the old paths. But that's not my message tonight. That's the introduction. I want to just follow up on this verse. It's the last part that's so neglected. It says, "And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And without getting to the book of Hebrews talks a lot about Christians entering into a rest. And that rest is not talking about heaven. We're talking about rest that we can have here and now on earth. I'm telling you, you can, as a Christian, you can live and you can have rest in your life. We talked about this morning resting in His Word. Resting in His Word. Resting in the truth of the Word of God. This is truth. This is truth from beginning to end. It's without error. And you can trust it. And you can trust what the Bible has to say. We can rest also in the grace of the Word. In other words, it's not just grace that saves us, but we need to remember the grace that saved us. Amen? But it's also grace that empowers us to live the Christian life here and now. It's the grace of God that helps us and enables us to be a witness, to live a good life, a life that is pleasing to Him, and therefore is a testimony to those around us. It's the grace of God that encourages us and allows us to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to remember the grace of God. We need to remember, of course, Jesus Christ Himself. As we think about resting, we must keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Him we find rest. And lastly, we must rest in the promises of God. The promises of God. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, we think about that word, "I am meek and lowly. As we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our eyes on Him, we think about the meekness of the Lord. This does not mean He was a sissy. It just simply means He thought of others more than He thought of Himself. Right? They say that humility is one of those things when you know you've got it, you've lost it, right? Meekness is simply not thinking of yourself at all. And it's an area in which we come to the Lord. We come to Him at an altar in our private prayer closet. We say to Him, "Lord, I am not experiencing the rest that You intended for me to have. Lord, I come to You." And come to Him with a contrite heart, a broken heart. Come to Him in a meek and lowly spirit. And He will give you rest. He will give you rest. He's promised to do that. He's promised to do it. Our rest is not found in accomplishments. Our rest is not found in performance. Rest is not found in conforming to some standard. I think as independent Baptists, sometimes we get the ideal that if my dress is just right and I keep my tongue and I do this, and this, and I conform to this standard, which is, we ought to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. But conforming to that standard does not necessarily give us rest. Now, it may put us in a position to give us rest, but just saying, "Well, I'm like a Pharisee or a Sadducee, and I got it all down," and that gives you rest, is not true. What gives you rest with the Lord and rest here on earth is to be right with God and rest in Him. It's when you can lay down on your pillow at night and you feel that rest, and you're not in a state of worry, not in a state of turmoil. It does not mean you don't have problems. It just means you're not worried about them. You can lay your head down at night and have rest. Amen. Secondly, not only can we rest in His Word, but we can rest in His ways. In His ways. Sometimes we get so busy. And I've said this from the pulpit many times. It's maybe been a while. But if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. I mean, that's just it. If we're too busy for the Lord, if we're too busy to be here in the services, and if we're too busy to pray and too busy to read our Bibles and too busy to tell others about Jesus, then we're just too busy. We must rest in His way. Here's a few practical areas in which we can rest in His ways. Number one is to think about a prayerful rest. In 1 Peter, we've already read, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." It's going to God with your burdens. It's going to God with your burdens. David said in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, "And David was greatly distressed For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, you remember this verse? Encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I take courage, and I mentioned my dad a lot this morning. I'm just sorry that I use my dad too much. But tonight, about 9:30 or so, me and my dad are probably going to talk. And I'm telling you, when I talk with him, I just enjoy it. I enjoy talking to my dad. As you think about talking and praying with the Heavenly Father, it ought to be something you enjoy. And you ought to come to him and prayerfully bring your burdens to him, prayerfully bring your problems to him. You say, well, that's kind of selfish. No, prayer means ask. If you're not asking for anything, you're not praying. Amen? I think absolutely when you come to pray, you ought to pray for others first. You ought to praise Him for who and what He is. You ought to repent of your sins and then begin to ask, because that's what prayer means. And you began to pray. David said that in spite of all the things going on around him, and there was a lot of trouble going on, they were getting the women and children had been carried off by Absalom, and there was a lot of things going on. And David, they were about to stone him. They were about to kill him. They thought of stoning King David. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in Abner? No. David encouraged himself in Joab? No. David encouraged, think about some of these other. No, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Yes, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And yes, we should go to, those in which we might be an encouragement to us, right? But the greatest encourager is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Bring your burden to Him. Pray. And find rest in prayer. Find rest in prayer. I've experienced it. I hope you have as well. You can find rest in prayer. Secondly, as we think about rest in His ways, Mark chapter 6, verse 31 says, "And He said unto them, Come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And so secondly, very practical point is when we are not in a state of rest, that maybe we do need some physical rest. I said this morning that simply going to the Bahamas isn't going to make life better. If you're just using entertainment or vacations as a way to escape the turmoil in your life, that's not going to help. It might help a little, but it's not going to solve the problem. Hello? It's not. You're going to come right back to it. But when we go to the Bahamas, it should be for physical rest, right? Now, I told you I don't take vacations that way. Vacations to me is how much can I get done in 1 week? How early can I get up? How late can I stay out? And so forth. I'll sleep when I get home. And so that's kind of the way I take vacations. But we do need time to get apart and physically rest. And sometimes, you'd be surprised, sometimes marital problems, oftentimes even emotional problems, and many of these worrisome problems are connected to the physical. When you're physically tired, when you're physically wore out. I don't know about you, but as I've gotten older, when I get physically tired, I get grouchy. I said that from the pulpit here lately, didn't I? I get grouchy. I'm like, what has happened to me? I didn't used to be this way. I get grouchy. I'm like, my kids will start saying something to me. So I don't mean to be grouchy. I just am. There are a lot of times, and I'm being silly, but a lot of times, many times, our emotional, our relational, all of these areas are affected by our physical. And so many times, I'll say to someone who's having a lot of problems, I say, have you been to the doctor lately? Sometimes it's important to go and see a doctor and get checked out. But we do need rest. The disciples needed rest, and Jesus reminded them of that, to come apart and to rest a little while. So for yourself, I hope this summer you get find time to get a little physical rest. Amen? I hope you get to go to the Bahamas or Hawaii. Thirdly, we think about this resting in His ways. We think about rest in labor. Think about this for a moment. Rest while we labor. You say, preacher, you can rest while you labor? Yeah, absolutely. There are some things I just enjoy doing. And though some things are laborious and labor intensive, I could be doing them and I'm just as relaxed as ever, right? You never done that? I'm trying to think of something right now that's labor intensive that I've done lately. That's not very much. But, you know, working on a car, or I used to work on vehicles all the time. I enjoyed it. Back when you could really work on a car. Back when there wasn't 3,000 computers to... I enjoyed working on vehicles. I had 6 vehicles when me and my wife got married. And it was amazing. I used to keep all these vehicles running and using parts. Y'all wouldn't think that about me, huh? I have sissy hands now. I don't work do all that anymore. I enjoyed it. Some of me and my wife's best dates were in wrecking yards. We just go throughout the wrecking yards looking for old 60 and 66 Chevrolet pickups. And I had 3 Honda Civics when we got married. Little hatchbacks, those little 77, 78, 79 hatchbacks. Y'all don't want me to talk about all this? But I could work on vehicles and enjoy it, even though many times it's hard work. Same thing with woodworking for me. If we're building something, I enjoy that. And it's not tiresome to me to do those things. So we can rest in labor. But can I tell you, we can rest in labor for the Lord. And there ought to be a place in our life, a time in our life when we are laboring for the Lord, where it's not tiresome, right? We can get tired in the way, but we should not get tired of the way. You've heard that statement before. You can get tired in the way, but we should never get tired of the way. And so we can labor for the Lord and still relax and rest as we labor. Why should we labor? Because the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. So we labor because Christ, the love of Christ, constraineth us. I've said from the pulpit in the past that I don't believe in burnout. I still don't by the world's definition. And that is that you can simply get to the point in life where you just burn out. There are many reasons why you burn out. There's reasons why you get to that point. Let me quote this. His name is Lance Witt. He says this, but there are certainly... have been seasons through the years when I lost the clarity. My ministry became my identity. My ministry became my first love. My ministry consumed all my spiritual passion. My ministry, not Jesus, was my life. The unintended byproduct during those seasons was a slow disconnect from Jesus. That's burnout. Burnout's when all your emphasis, all your effort, all your labor, your identity is put in the ministry that God has given you. And you're not fellowshipping with the Lord. In other words, you're laboring in your own strength. And maybe I'm preaching to myself tonight, but there are many who do labor for the Lord in their own strength. Many. And there's many sitting in the pew tonight who may be a little tired in the way. But don't get tired of the way. Right? I mean, if you're tired, if you're tired of the ministry, you're tired of what the ministry God has given you, then begin to check yourself and make sure that there's not a disconnect between you and the Savior. Because I don't want to see you burn out. I don't want to see you get to that point. And neither do you. As we think about that, we understand that we can rest in the labor of the Lord because His yoke is easy. We read the scripture this morning. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Read it tonight too. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His work doesn't have to be burdensome. His work does not have to be burdensome. I hope that you're in a position in life where if you're teaching Sunday school or you're helping a master's club or whatever else you may be doing, that you're not in a position where your ministry is burdensome to you. I hope it's a joy to you. I hope it's something that you enjoy and look forward to doing. His work is when we get in our... His work and finding rest in His work is when we get our eyes off us and get our eyes on Him. In other words, when we begin to rely upon our own efforts, upon our own strength, that's just pride. And that will produce a burden for us. Rest in the labor. I'll go on. We can rest in fellowship. And by this, I mean talking about resting in fellowship with the Lord. I hope that you have a time, a personal time with the Lord, where you are fellowshipping with Him on a daily basis. Secondly, we can rest with family. Like I said, I enjoy talking to my dad. I enjoy talking and spending time with my brother who will be coming down the 1st of August and spending a week with us. They have 10 children and one on the way. I didn't think I've said that yet publicly. One on the way. But I enjoy being around my brother. I enjoy family. I enjoy that. And because my brother and my dad are both very spiritual men, I enjoy being around them, also for the fellowship concerning the Lord. But also we find rest with godly people. Iron sharpeneth iron, according to Proverbs 27:17. And when we, if we want to rest and rest in the Lord and have the rest that we all want as far as just that contentment, the godly contentment that He gives us, it requires fellowship. As I said this morning, I think our church does a pretty good job of this. We enjoy hanging out with each other. I hope that you enjoy keeping up. I appreciate those who have connected with new members and those who are watching out for new members, maybe some that don't come to Sunday school, and just keeping a watch out, enjoying that fellowship together. It's important. It's not just important for you to sit down and have a meal. It's just as important for you to talk to that person across from you. Right? And you can talk about the Rangers, and we can talk about other things, but it might be good to talk to them how their family's doing. Right? And just iron sharpens iron. It's good for us to go to men's and boys' retreats and be preached to and maybe get over in the corner and ask questions. That's why I love Brother Stewart. I know when Brother Stewart gets here that people converge around him and they all like to ask questions. And all of a sudden you've got Bible going on, not just during the service, but after the service, right? Iron sharpeneth iron, and we need fellowship. The Bible says there in Acts 2:41-42 that they added to the church daily such as would be added, but they also talk about breaking bread and then fellowship, fellowshipping one with another. And so fellowship is one of those areas that the church should be absolutely involved in. But we find rest, and we find encouragement. We find just a great strength in the Lord, but also in fellowshipping with others. And I said all that to get to this. Do not isolate yourself. It's amazing how many times when somebody goes through a storm and when somebody's going through a difficulty that they isolate themselves. That's exactly the opposite thing you should do. It's the opposite thing you should do. I know many pastors who do this, who pastor friends of mine even, who will go through certain difficulties in the ministry, and instead of reaching out to three or four pastors and asking for help, they just simply don't talk to nobody. It'll ruin you. I'm telling you, when you're going through a difficulty, and reach out to others around you. Call somebody. I hope you would call me. Email me. Text me. Right? Man, you need that. Don't isolate yourself. Some of us have a tendency to just ball up in a ball and just say, you know what? I can do this. Listen, why would you do that when you have friends? Why would you do that when you have a church family who loves you? And so I just want to encourage you, don't isolate yourself in difficult times. Don't isolate yourself in times of worry and distress. Be careful. In ministry, the perfect storm for a personal disaster is always the convergence of three elements: ambition, isolation, and self-deception. Ambition, isolation, and self-deception. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But don't isolate yourself. Our church reaches out to a lot of people. And sometimes as we reach out, we get pushed back. Sometimes I just want to go to those families and say, listen, we're not trying to bust in on your life. We just want to be a blessing. And they don't understand that they need it. They need it. Very difficult for me as a pastor. I'd love to just be able to go in and bust the door down and say, hey, come on, man. Come on, lady. Let us help you. I encourage you. Let me read that again. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Encourage it. All right? I mentioned this morning about Peter. We're talking about rest now. And so many times, this godly contentment, we think about Peter's denial of the Lord. Peter's denial of the Lord. Why did Peter deny the Lord? Let me give you just a couple of things. One, overconfidence. Do you think Peter was an overconfident man? Very evident. Lord, I'll never deny you. You know, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never do it. He says, you know, the Lord said to him, Satan seeks to sift you and so forth. No, that never happened to me. Very prideful. Sometimes we can be in the same spot. We can look at someone else who fails, someone else who's fallen morally or in other ways, and we can say that would never happen to me. Oh, be careful. We also think of Peter and the physical fatigue. We talked about that just a moment ago, of having rest, physical rest. The disciples were to watch and pray in the garden, but they what? Slept. They were tired. Peter was tired. Being physically tired and exhausted absolutely increases your vulnerability to the enemy. We must be very careful. Number three, failing to pray. Failing to pray. They slept instead of prayed. It hurt Peter. Hurt his inner life. Hurt the inner man. And then four, growing distance from Jesus. After Jesus was arrested, the Bible says that Peter followed what? Afar off. Afar off. Number five, trying to hide in public. I don't think Peter did very well at this. As he tried to hide, he warmed himself by a fire, and somebody noticed him. And then, number six, he began to lie. He began to lie. He lied to the lady who asked, and he denied he knew the Lord. And then number seven, the denial just escalated. Denied him three times. We must be careful that we would say, oh, that would never happen to me. I would never do that. Remember who denied the Lord? Peter. Peter denied the Lord. Peter walked away, if you would. There are many today who are missing church tonight, per se. And I know there's some at work and some others on vacation and so forth. But there are some today in our own church who are discouraged, who essentially say, well, I'm just going to walk away. There are some in America today. America, this is the biggest problem. I've said this from the pulpit here recently, that what was it better? Is it better today or 40 years ago? What's the difference? Is people have walked away from churches across America. They walked away. You say, well, that would never happen to me, preacher. That would never happen to me. But yet they'll start missing Wednesday nights, and they'll start missing Sunday nights. And then all of a sudden, they're coming on Sunday morning only, and then you begin to see the slippage. And all of a sudden, they come to me and say, you know, preacher, I don't think I can serve in this ministry anymore and that ministry. And all of a sudden, they're done. And most of those people today are not attending church anywhere. They walked away. Oh, that would never, I would never do that. I would never deny Christ. I would never walk away. Listen, we better be careful. Peter did. Peter got right, and I prayerfully you consider your own heart and where you're at. I hope today you're finding and have that rest in the way. Rest in the way. And lastly, not only should we have rest in the Word of God and rest in the way, but we should have rest in His walk. And this is a very familiar thought. We preach on this a lot. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." In other words, we must be very careful to feed the spiritual man. In other words, what's on the inside eventually works itself on the outside. So the inner man has to be taken care of. We must walk in the Spirit. We must walk in the Spirit. I'm going to use a silly illustration that I started on this morning but didn't finish. And that is this. If we're not careful, our gas tank will run out, right? Some people will see their gas gauge get to that quarter low, and they'll go fill up. That's not the way I do it. I want to test it. I like to just see how far can you take it before it runs out. I want to see that when I go to fill my truck up, if I can get, it holds 25 gallons, if I can get 25 gallons in it. And there's been some times lately I've got the 25 gallons in. It's amazing. Now, certainly I'm not doing it on purpose, but I just find myself in those positions where, you know, anyway, but the gas tank runs out. If you're not careful, the gas will run out. But not talking about the car, talking about you and me. We got to keep our gas tank full. We got to consider the inner man. You know, the oil in your car will get old. And it used to be you changed it at 3,000. Now they say 5,000, 6,000, whatever the case is. But it will eventually get old. If you don't change the oil, and the oil begins to run low, the oil light will come on. right? Or now it's the check engine light. Instead of being yellow, it'll turn red. If you have a check engine light that goes red, that means stop. Don't go another second. If it's yellow, it means limp over to someone and get something fixed. But red means stop. If you don't change the oil and the oil runs low, eventually something bad's going to happen. The gas light will come on. Most cars have a gas light. You get down to 2 gallons, it comes on. I wait for that, you know, and then I test it. No. The gas light will come on if you don't fill your car up. If you don't change the oil, if the oil runs low, eventually it's going to affect the temperature of your engine. The temperature will increase. Soon the engine light will come on. It's going to happen. Just mark it down. Usually it's at the least opportune time. Car never breaks down when it's a great time. Yee, my car broke down. That happens sometimes. Thankfully, my trailer broke right in the middle of the campground instead of on the way back from the campground. You know, so sometimes that happens. But most of the time, it's never a good time. So, your car needs gas to go. Your car needs fresh oil on a regular basis to continue to maintain its operation. Car maintenance is not just important, it's essential. Everybody staying with me? Is this too silly for you? Because it really, really good. It's really good. It matches so good. So is our spiritual man. See, taking care of the spiritual man, that new nature, is far more important than maintaining your car. And yet, I would dare guess there are some here today who take better care of their car than they're taking care of their inner man. But we'll make sure that oil's changed, right? Make sure that gas is, you got gas in the car. Make sure everything's oiled and greased and lubed so we can keep that car going, because we want to get the mileage out of it. We want to get the miles out of it. But we neglect our own spiritual soul. And we wonder why we don't have rest. We wonder why we don't have contentment. We wonder why we can't function as good as we used to function, spiritually speaking. We must walk in the Spirit. I want to challenge you again. Walk with God. Desire that godly contentment, that godly rest. The only way you're going to do that is to maintain the inner man. To maintain the inner man. Get your cup full. When you see yourself slipping a little bit, when you see yourself neglecting Wednesday night and sat in front of the TV watching Oprah Winfrey, I know that's not the case. Be careful. When you find yourself on Sunday night neglecting the house of God, when you find yourself missing more than 3 or 4 times reading your Bible on a daily basis, doesn't mean you have to read 10 chapters a day. Doesn't mean you have to read 3 chapters a day. Doesn't mean you have to read your Bible through every year. Maybe you read your Bible 3 every 5 years, but you're reading your Bible. Prayer time. Well, I just don't have time to pray. No, you must make time to pray. If you want rest, if you want godly contentment, you've got to maintain the inner man. You've got to maintain the inner man. And lastly, as I said this morning, one of the greatest areas that you'll experience in life as far as having rest and contentment is to find yourself and understand the truth that you are acceptable to God. In other words, my acceptance is not found in my dad. My acceptance is not found in you or in a pastor friend, but my acceptance is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He shed His blood for me. He died for me, gave His life for me, rose again from the dead for me. And my value in this life is not found in what you think of me, but what He thinks of me. And I'm telling you, when you can come to that point in your life, it'll sure help you from being performance-based. In other words, I don't have to perform for someone. I just have to perform for someone. As long as I'm okay with Him, I'll be okay with everybody else. And I'm glad that being okay with Him doesn't require for me to jump through some hoops. Doesn't require me to meet a certain, you know, point or certain goals, that He loves me unconditionally. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful for the love of Jesus? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? And it's still something we're all learning about. We must learn to rest in the Word of God. Rest in the truth of the Word of God. Rest in the grace of God. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Rest in His promises, the great and precious promises of God. Follow in His ways prayerfully. How's your prayer life? Physically, are you just physically tired and need some rest? How about delighting in service? You can rest in service. You can rest in His labor. Are you resting in that? And then how's your fellowship with fellow Christians? Have you isolated yourself? Be very careful. And lastly, walk in the Spirit. Peter denied the Lord. By the way, unlike us, Peter could see Him and still denied Him. We don't see Him. And if Peter could deny Him, we could deny Him. Boy, let us be very careful. Let us never be prideful to think that would never happen to us. Rest in Him. Rest is not just found in the here and now, but rest also is found for eternity. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? And I'm glad I'll spend eternity in His eternal rest. Let's all stand. Hymn 504.